Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Business News Hour for a Tuesday afternoon. We're coming to you from Anna Maria Island while we're on location here. Also, if you want to reach out to us, you can do that on Twitter. We are at @IOB_NewsHour. Me personally, you can find me at Michael Libby. Libby is spelled L-I-B-B-I-E. Well, another retail casualty is hit. Dress Barn is going to be closing all 650 stores. The parent company, Ascena Retail Group, says that it wants to focus on more profitable brands. Ascena, which also owns apparel chains Ann Taylor and Loft, said the decision wasn't an easy one. The company said in a statement, the, quote, Dress Barn has not been operating at an acceptable level of profitability in today's retail environment, end quote. Dress Barn, which has been around for more than five decades, has struggled to grow in apparel retailing as more women steer toward fast fashion retailers like H&M, Zara, and off-price brands like TJ Maxx, Ross Stores, and even Target for clothes. The company said shoppers can still buy online, but that retail outlets will soon start to shutter. With the news, that means over 6,000 retail stores have closed so far this year, and that's more retail store closures than all of last year. Nike and Adidas, as well as other footwear giants, have urged President Donald Trump to reconsider his tariffs on shoes made in China, saying the policy would be, quote, catastrophic for our consumers, our companies, and the American economy as a whole, end quote. In all, 173 companies signed an open letter to the president and posted on the Industry Trade Sites Association website. It was also sent to Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross, and the National Economic Council Director Larry Kudlow. The letter went on to say, quote, on behalf of our hundreds of millions of footwear consumers and hundreds of thousands of employees, we ask that you immediately stop this action to increase their tax burden. Your proposal to add tariffs on all imports from China is asking the American consumer to foot the bill. It is time to bring this trade war to an end, end quote. Well, let this one sink in for a moment. Americans born between 1981 and 1996 have failed to match every other generation of young adults born since the Great Depression. Let me say that again. Americans born between 1981 and 1996 have failed to match every other generation of young adults born since the Great Recession. They have less wealth, less prosperity, lower marriage rates, and fewer children. Even with record levels of education, the troubles of millennials have delayed traditional adult milestones in ways expected to alter the nation's demographic and economic contours through the end of this century. Sobering, no? For example, millennials helped drive the number of U.S. births to their lowest levels in 32 years. That means fewer workers in the future to support Social Security and other public programs for the ballooning population of retirees. Prospects for a quick turnaround aren't good. Men and women in their 30s are marrying at rates well below any other generation on record. And we're talking about a huge swath of people. More than half of the 72 million American millennials are now in their 30s. The oldest will turn 38 this year when the generation is expected to surpass the number of baby boomers. Their slow start has been well documented in the first years after the recession. New data shows that millennials may never catch up with the generations of Americans that preceded them. Why? Well, here we go. Low pay, even among the most educated, excessive student debt, constant rising health care costs, including insurance, and a culture that may not trust the economic system as they watch their parents struggle through the recession and afterward. If there's a bright spot, millennials are entering their prime earning years as more and more baby boomers retire, unless that is that baby boomers make the decision to stay working, given the economics of the day. It is a big deal. There are now dozens of .something, .com, .us, .ca, .net, .org, and the list goes on. But a .amazon? Back in 2012, Amazon applied for .amazon and two internationalized versions of the name. Brazil and several other countries put the U.S. company on notice that they were opposed to the idea. Well, today we received word that the dispute, which is yet to be settled, got a little bit closer as the keeper of domain names, that is the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, how you didn't know there was one, did you? It's called ICANN, sided with the Seattle-based company, and now the online giant can go forward with attempting to get .amazon. There's going to be a public comment period per procedures established for granting new domain names. The Brazilian Foreign Ministry said it feared the ICANN decision did not sufficiently take into account the interests of the South American governments involved and undermine the rights of sovereign states. See what you learn here? Tesla was delivered yet another blow today by Morgan Stanley analysts who slashed their worst-case scenario for the share price to just, get this, $10. Over concerns the electric car market is saturated. Tesla has drawn criticism for weak deliveries. Tesla handled just over 63,000 cars in the first quarter, yet expands to deliver as many as 100,000 cars in the second and four times that for the year. However, to boost demand, Morgan Stanley says Tesla must look to China and offer lower-priced sport utility vehicles and supply mobility fleets. But the question remains, can they do it? Now a local story about government, planning, nature, and a local economy with a media angle. We're coming to you this week from Anna Maria Island on the Gulf Coast of Florida, where the business community was decimated last year by something called the red tide. Red tide is an algae bloom that, while always present, was put on steroids last year due to unchecked nutrients flowing into the Gulf, thereby fertilizing algae and then growing it to massive proportions. Because of that, algae choked off marine life by the millions of tons and caused health concerns among the human population. Tourists who usually flock to the tiny island, home to roughly 7,000 people that, for the most part, owe their economy to visitors, didn't come, and businesses closed. Now, as the business community regroups, some media outlets out there are once again claiming that red tide is back, when in fact, it is not back at the level it was previously reported. Bev Lesnick is the chair of the Anna Maria Island Chamber of Commerce and a business owner who felt the economic blow caused by last year's anomaly. I sat down with her and asked her to explain a bit about the island, the economy, and the red tide story yesterday and today.
This island is, a lot of it is rentals. And like up in Anna Maria, it's probably like 95% rentals. Only a few local people live there. Holmes Beach is a little bit better, and Bradenton Beach a little bit better, even more. Mm-hmm. But when, like last year, when I can tell you like almost to the minute that red tide showed up, it was on a Saturday. That was, I think it was the 13th of August on a Saturday. I was working that morning, and you could just see it just drop off. The red tide moved in, and I had a good friend of mine, Captain Curtis. He was going to go out and check to see where it was for me. And he called me about 11:30 and said, "Bev, I'm so sorry, but it's, I can see right where it starts and stops."
And what happened to the economy on Anna Maria Island during that time period?
It was dead. It was desolate here. It was even hard for us to be here as well. I have to say, the smell was very, it was very strong, and it was, you knew that there was something wrong with the air and the water, and you couldn't see any life. I live over in Cortez Village, so I'd go across the bridge, and it broke my heart too, because the number of fish and everything that was piled up on the beaches. For Anna Maria, it was a blessing. Manatee County immediately started having the tractors go through and rake everything up immediately as that Saturday it started. Mm-hmm. So the dead fish didn't stay on the beaches as long as, like, say, in Sarasota. They went 7 days a week, and they did the entire island.
And you were impacted personally with your business because of Red Tide last year,
yes.
Right?
I had two coffee shops. I have one in Holmes Beach and the other one was in Anna Maria. Well, up until that point, because all the people that were normally vacationing down south were all moving up this way. I mean, it was awesome. I mean, I thought it was like another season, not knowing until I got into August what actually was going on. Because all of us were like elated. Oh, this is awesome. I mean, all the rentals were booked. Both shops were doing well. But as soon as it hit, it was almost as if somebody had closed the door and nobody else was coming in.
One of the things that we just said in the opening to this is a natural occurrence. I mean, this is something that's here all the time. Yet media outlets here on the Gulf Coast of Florida are already proclaiming that Red Tide is back. How is that going to impact your business?
Well, I know it's going to be a negative impact right away. And yes, Red Tide is a natural occurrence, but it's when it blooms. So this is what government and capitalism, I guess, for a lack of a better word, has done for us here on the coast. In the middle of Florida, by Lake Okeechobee, we have several of the sugar plants that are there. And so, you know, for some reason, I don't know who thought this was a great idea, was to dump all of the waste into Lake Okeechobee. And then somebody even got a better idea. Instead of letting it go through the Everglades and naturally filter through and also feed some of the things in the Everglades, we're going to dump it out in the Gulf, and we're going to dump it out in the Atlantic. So when they did that, the blue-green algae actually feeds the Red Tide, which makes it 10 times worse, which makes it huge, because it now you're just, it's like a child. You're giving it all this food, so it's getting bigger.
Yeah.
And that's what it did. And that Red Tide actually started in July of 2017. So people knew, or the scientists knew where it was. And then as it moved closer to land, because it's getting warm, and the warm water and the blue-green algae just made it huge.
Well, even though media outlets are saying that it's back, it's not back to that occurrence level, is it?
No, it is not. It's not. And so what's going to happen is, I mean, the water out there is beautiful right now. And it's probably, I think it's like 75 degrees. So it's still cold, and it's not feeding it. Yes, we're going to go into warmer weather, but I don't think they've let any of the blue-green algae out yet. But, I mean, that's around the corner. But anytime somebody says, you know, Red Tide, then that immediately brings... And then if you show pictures of last year, that makes it even 10 times worse. So why am I going to vacation there if I'm not too sure? One, I'm going to have a hard time breathing. Two, there's going to be dead fish. So they'll find somewhere else to go.
Bad news always seems to sell. Bev, thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Once again, that was Bev Lesnick, the owner of the Island Coffee House here on Anna Maria Island, Florida. And as she was explaining the origins of algae bloom and the devastation to their local economy caused by what she says has been a disaster for the local economy based on some questionable agricultural decisions, it reminded me of the story from John Norris that we had in a recent Out to Lunch segment, where he talked about agriculture, pollution, and that impact on the Midwest economy. You can hear similarities in those stories from two very different parts of the nation. Stay with us. Just a click away, we've got Emily Wyatt from the Des Moines Area Religious Council as we talk about food insecurity in the metro, along with an event coming up this week where you can help support the DMARC mission. That's next on the Business News Hour.